Welcome to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, a show that features the people, the stories, and the events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. It is May 7th, 2014.
There's a dance called Purposeful, and it's about the strength of women as they use purpose to direct people, themselves and others. And there's unity in that, and then there's also individualism, working smaller groups, and it's a fun dance. I think it really gets across the emphasis of purpose and direction.
Choreographed dancing is the hardest thing in the world for me, but I love working with all the amazing women here and with Valerie. So it always stretches my limits up until the very last second we're done performing. My brain, my body, my ability to work with other people.
Well, I'm always amazed at what Valerie talks us into doing. I'm always pushed to my limits. This year, it's the jitterbug. This old girl is going to jitterbug, and you just got to come and see.
Those are voices from Women in Motion's 2014 production, Girls Night Out. We'll be hearing about that later with Valerie Williams, the artistic director. Also, we have Cynthia McClure reporting in from Brick City Grill, which was voted the best hamburger in Iowa. Evidently, their business has been going crazy. We're going to hear some of that later in the hour. And Pat Schlauberm is in the studio with me this morning. Hello, Pat.
Good morning. I'd like to do a little bit of a phenology. I'd like to tell the people, the listeners, about river otters in Iowa. They are being whelped. They are birthing as we speak. And you would think that they could swim as little otters, but no, they have to learn to swim. And in 1987, there was a torrential rain that impacted Red Rock Reservoir, where the river otters originated here in Iowa. And we thought, oh my goodness, the river otters are going to drown. But I was able to talk to the river otter expert down in Louisiana, Leroy Savin, and he had a real French accent, Cajun individual that said, oh, Pat, don't worry about that. Those river otters, she would not do anything to let those little river otters drown. I've seen them going across the marsh, but she'll have one in her mouth like a cat, and there'll be another little river otter hanging on an ear and another river otter hanging on her back, and there's no way that she would let those little river otters drown. You don't have to worry about that. They'll be just fine, and she'll take them to higher ground. So this time of year, when the rivers rise incrementally, we don't have to worry about the river otters. They're in all 99 counties, and it's all worked out just great.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. So every time of year, you think about this conversation you had with this fellow.
Exactly, especially when we get these torrential rains.
That's right. We did get quite a lot of rain last week, and this week has been beautiful. There's a possibility of severe thunderstorms tomorrow, Thursday. Apart from that, it looks like smooth sailing.
Yeah, the spring beauties and the hepaticas, everything's coming out in the woodlands. The morels will be soon to follow.
Mm-hmm. Will you tell us when you find them?
Why not?
But you won't tell us where.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Well, Pat, you have some audio for us today, don't you?
Yes, there is a new organization called the Outdoor Alliance of Story County. And recently, one of the board members, Linda Zalatel, gave a presentation for the OWLS group out at McFarland Park. It's the Older, Wiser, Learning Seniors. And we have a portion of that presentation at this time.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out to our OWLS today on this beautiful weather day. Maybe a little windy, but fairly nice. Just a couple of things. I'm Jerry Keyes, Environmental Education Coordinator. I always get in trouble for not introducing myself. It wasn't until recently that a group of people got together and decided it's time to quit talking and time to do. And they did. And so I'm happy to have the Outdoor Alliance of Story County here today to tell you who they are and what they're for. Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, I'll start my introduction. Most of you know me. My name is Linda Zalatel. I actually was a naturalist for Story County Conservation for 33 years. I retired, and shortly after that, somehow my name was mentioned to get together with a group of people that I've known for a long time, and one new one, And we wanted to talk about Outdoor Alliance and what we wanted to do in Story County. Mike, I'm going to let you. Do you want this?
Thanks, Linda. My name is Mike Metz, and I'm many years ago was on the County Conservation Board when Steve was our director at that time. And when I was on the board, and that was back when Fred Matteson was one of the supervisors in our county, we were talking about this type of a program then. So Jerry is right. We've tried a few times, and finally we've gotten to the point where we have developed a program. And I'm also retired, but I'm also a volunteer here at Story County, so I've always kept my fingers involved here, and I enjoy working with the folks. And Diane, do you want to?
Sure. And I'm Diane Burt, and I'm soon to be retired. I'm on the faculty at Iowa State University and have been very much involved in outdoor activities and in conservation. I have been a wannabe as far as being a volunteer Story County Conservation, and I plan on doing that as I get a little further into my retirement. But I was pulled into the Outdoor Alliance by another member of our board, Greg Vitale, who is a well-known paddler and, around here, and I paddle with him a lot.
And if you want me to, I'll go ahead and talk about the other members who are present today. Currently, John Pullman is our chair. When we first started this, I was the chair of the committee and then slipped to vice chair. John had a little bit more time to be able to serve as chair, so we voted him as chair this year. Greg is serving as our secretary, Greg Vitale, and he's been kind of the driving force who got us all together to finally start working on this project. And then Todd Burris, who many of you know or have read, outdoor writer, outdoor page on Fridays for the Ames Tribune. He's our treasurer, and he's also involved, but unfortunately they can't be here today. And so I'm going to turn the microphone over to Linda for a little bit, and then we'll team present.
All right, Outdoor Alliance of Story County. Kind of a unique name, and Mike, I'm going to give Mike credit for developing it, and I do want to mention Dean Beekler did create our logo, and if you see a pineapple, turn it around and see the acorn instead, because we're growing, and a little acorn becomes a mighty oak tree. Our mission, basically, is to enhance outdoor recreation, education, and conservation opportunities in Story County. That's pretty wide open. It can mean a lot of things for the citizens of Story County, along with all organizations that are conservation-minded in Story County. And I wasn't at this one because I don't drink coffee, so I would never sit around and drink coffee. but they did. It started by a group of people, Greg Vitale starting, and got people together and said, we need to do this. We need to create some sort of foundation for Story County in conservation. Basically, we all agreed that local investments in, as I just said, the natural resources were really important, especially for future generations. Having served on Story County Conservation for so long, I do know it's the children that are going to make the difference. I have been lucky to witness many children who started out in a program with one of us naturalists at 4 years old, and today I can count quite a few of them that have gone into natural resources. If you get the National Geographic of late, there was a picture on, it wasn't gardening, but it was sustainable farming, and there is a picture of Sally Bran. She is Sally Hertz from Nevada, Iowa, and I taught her all the way through. She was even an intern with us. A success story going through our programs. Now, we are a working group with a nonprofit status. We got that status in January. That's a hard process. Greg Vitale was very good at instigating that and finding out the facts, because creating a nonprofit is hard.
It took close to a year for us to obtain that status.
Now, the whole idea, again, a foundation, a friends group, something like that, I've just got a few of those blue stars of where other county conservation boards have foundations that are separate from their conservation board or their county. They're nonprofits. They raise money. I know that several of them have built buildings through their friends group. bought supplies for children, acquired habitat, the money that was donated within those counties. So a foundation can be very important, especially in this county. So we want you to join our team. Basically, we're just taking baby steps right now. We started out basically in January formally. The brochure was finally created. The stationery, some business cards. We have a website. No activated phone. If you get a card from one of us or a brochure, go to the website, and I hope on the website there are phone numbers for all of us, so you can get a hold of us directly. Since we're just taking those baby steps, we are a little on the wiggly side yet, not knowing how many board members, who's doing what, so we're just starting. Basically, our goal is to enhance recreation, education, and conservation in Story County. But we are also going to partner with community members, civic organizations, Story County itself, town halls or city halls, parks and recreation, Story County Conservation Partners Group. We are going to integrate, hopefully, with all those other groups to create a really nice foundation. Do you want to talk about the Story County Foundation?
What I like to say is that we are groups separate from partners, but we work together, and part of the beauty of our group is that we are a nonprofit, and so we are not associated with the partners who are, there's a governmental association there, so we hopefully will be able to get involved in some projects that we can help. It'd be like a non-governmental organization, so we can do some things that the partners would not be able to do because of their connection, direct connection with the county. So don't look at this as a replacement for partners. We're all members of partners as well, and partners has their place and their mission. So please keep that in mind as you consider this organization.
Again, enhance public awareness of the benefits and investments in outdoor recreation, education, and conservation. You're going to hear this constantly. Now, this is where the tough part comes, and that's securing additional resources to supplement the local public expenditures. Okay, Story County has a budget. We all pay a little tax on that. The Partners Group is also takes donations. And as Mike said, we're a nonprofit, and we can work closely, but yet we can raise money and supplement Story County, Parks and Recs, different things like that. And there's a benefit there. There's different kind of tax laws. If you get to a certain age, I think 70 and a half is one where you can donate money and take it off your taxes. There's all kinds of those investment type things that you can do with us because we are part of the Story County Foundation Group also. So we are looking for money.
As far as money, we currently, all of us have bought into this. We've all donated, and that's what we're using as our working capital to get the word out, print the brochures, those kinds of things. So we're also heavily involved, invested financially right now. But the kinds of funds we're talking about are funds that are larger in amount so that we can actually help with a project. And part of what I'd like to say Diane will be involved in is granting. At some point, we will probably use that as our instrument on how to award these projects.
She has great experience on grant writing and grant reviewing, so we're looking for that benefit on our organization. You can see we do have annual donations. You see those prices there. You can go on our website, get a hold of us. I also have brochures here, and you can talk to me after and Diane after. We do have an automatic monthly donation type thing set up. I know when I donated to the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, they had that set up. It came out of my paycheck every month. And before I know it, it was all paid up and I made my donation. So we are looking at that too. Again, we're not for profit.
We're not for profit.
We're a separate entity and we're not governed by Story County. We are slow but steady. Economic improvements we want to be involved in. Already we have Dakin's Lake being formed, graded. I actually haven't been up there. Have you been up to
I've
see
been
it?
Up there, yes.
Okay. And that was through TIF money, I think?
TIF was involved with mm-hmm. that project.
So, but we could do more. We could also help with that project. Heart of Iowa Nature Trail. I have to give credit to Carol Williams and Steve Lekwa for basically writing the grants and getting that done. But maybe there's a few more things that can be done. and Slater, the gateway to the High Trestle Trail. Increased traffic down there. Lots of people using that. It's become a destination. Those are things we could do. And we want to develop a network of supporters. And I just had a gentleman right back there, and it was Jack, right? Okay, he's already said, oh, I want to become involved. I want to know what's going on. So already we've got people looking at doing some things with us. Now, you can also ask about our endowment. We will be starting, I'm going to have you turn that over to you.
We are acting as a clearinghouse, for no other better term, in that the funds will come through us and then we will award them to the various projects within the county that meet our mission statement and then go from there.
So you can see that little baby oak. We're just starting. We're just starting to grow. Here's ideas of what we could do with your help. Enhancing outdoor recreation. Improving watersheds. Hickory Grove has had a watershed. There's a committee. Maybe even our, even Outdoor Alliance might be able to help. Another thing we thought about is improving primitive camping. We used to have a site here. It's now at Robinson Acres, which is the best wildflower place in Story County to go to. And a lot of restoration has been done at that park, thanks to Amy Yoakum. She's the vegetative specialist. She's done a lot with Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, getting grants and having the workers come in and work on that park.
And hiring goats to help.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the goats. Modern restrooms facilities. I started 33 years ago. The campground shower house hasn't changed in that time.
That's at Hickory Grove.
Yeah, that's at Hickory Grove. It is because of water issues that it hasn't changed. It can't be expanded bigger or anything because the settling ponds and the way the sewage is treated is not modern. It's old, and we really need to work on joining with maybe the city of Colo to try to improve that situation. So maybe there could be some other things we'll talk about in a few minutes at that campground. How about s'mores? I knew I'd have a few takers. You're not having s'mores today, though, right, Jerry? No s'mores. Yeah. Again, the watershed improvement, expanded waste treatment, as I just mentioned. The beach used to be very crowded. When I started working, everybody went to the beach. Nowadays, yes, it gets used, but we'd like to see people back. And with watershed improvement and water quality issues improved, people can come back and swim. Working on trails, improving trails.
One of the things that we would really like to get involved in is more connections as far as our trail system. Now, we've got probably the flagship would be considered the Heart of Iowa Trail. It runs through the southern part of our county. And we still are working on pieces of that to complete it. You saw a photo of the Hoyt Bridge, the eastern end of the trail, going all the way over past Slater to connect with the High Trestle Bridge Trail. I mean, we're part of the American Discoveries Trail. That Heart of Iowa Trail is involved as far as the network that goes entirely across the United States. But we'd also like to see trail improvement from the Prairie Rail Trail up in the northern part of the county and connect those trails to go from north to south as well. They're following the east-west lines of the railroad trails for the most part. What we're looking at would be, how about getting some more greenway space availability to connect the trails from the northern end of the county to the southern end? And one way we can do that is either getting perpetual easements or even outright purchase of property right along some of our main waterways to connect those. The other thing I might throw in at this time is our landowner and the average age of our farming society just increases as the years go by, and some of these properties are becoming available, and maybe we can work out some projects through our organization where we can maybe get a little piece of that if it intersects part of those greenway areas, to keep those areas green, to keep them as corridors, not only for us to use, but for a lot of the critters around the area, so they can migrate up and down through those corridors.
Fisheries. We want to improve our fisheries. Ever since I've been employed with Story County, Hickory Grove has been a fantastic place to go fishing. We'd like to see an improved fisheries. The Skunk River Paddlers, I can't tell you enough how the paddlers, which Diana is a member of, have improved the access points to the river trails and actually kind of developed the river trails. So they've already stepped up, and we can cooperate with them, paddlers, on Outdoor Alliance, and maybe more canoe access, maybe accessibility, all kinds of different things can step up for that.
Not only with access points, but they've got information points on the bridges, location areas, and then they've got little kiosks on some of the areas as well, explaining some of the benefits of the area.
Bike clubs. I know our park has been used by bike clubs, and you see cycling all over, and I've seen people come from Ada Hayden and cycle all the way here to go on the rough trails and then back to Ada Hayden on the smooth trails. It's quite a workout, I will mention. But, yeah, bike clubs, we can cooperate with them. ISU stepped up. These group of, I think they were architects and engineering, and they came up with a design and built this shelter at Peterson Park. And I didn't even know it was there. I went to a picnic one day there and went, oh, that's a gorgeous shelter. How nice to have it at that area. In the winter, some of us get snow, and maybe snowshoes or cross-country skis. This is equipment we could get for the educational part.
Shoot high for a lot of equipment. Sky's the limit, right?
Volunteers are a gift to the community, so our volunteer group, as we expand, really will help Story County and the conservation areas.
We are addressing you today, but we'd like you to spread the word that we exist. And we're going to be working on publicity methods here. For example, Pat Schlierbaum is here today from KHOI as a reporter, and we're going to be highlighted tomorrow morning on the local talk program.
So 89.1.
Again, serve, educate, knowledge, engagement, experience, people, learn, help. These are all things we're looking for in volunteers to our organization, along with donations.
And so this is probably our first full-fledged public presentation. And afterwards, we'd like to get your comments about your feeling about the presentation, how you might be able to help, get you interested, but importantly, get the word out. And if you know somebody who's interested or can help us out, we'd really appreciate talking to you.
And having Story County citizens be aware of our organization and move forward. And I think today, together, we can make a difference.
Thank you.
Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Greta Anderson, and in the studio with me is Valerie Williams, the Artistic Director of Commotion Dance Theater. Hi, Valerie.
Hi there.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
Not like I don't see you every day these days.
But it's lovely to be here.
Yes, it is. I mentioned that because I'm actually in the production that we'll be discussing today that Valerie is directing. I'm going to hand the interviewing privilege over to James Winters. He's in our engineer's seat where he usually is, but he's going to ask us a few questions so that I don't have to pretend not to know the answers.
That's good radio.
Valerie is the artistic director of
Commotion Dance Theater, and one of our outreach programs is Women in Motion. Women in Motion is a performance workshop for women ages over 18, we'll say, because we don't have an upper limit on it like we do with Kids Commotion, which is 8 to 18. But Women in Motion started because Kids Commotion had been going for a long time, and a number of adults kept coming to me saying, why don't you do something like this for grown-ups? Well, grown-ups are kind of fickle, so I really didn't want to. Plus, there are dance studios that offer classes, and they said, but there's nobody who does the composition and the performance workshop that you do, and it's not modern dance. And I said, finally, okay.
So how long have you been doing Women in Motion then?
This is our eighth season, and I have to say that the first year I kind of said, rolled my eyes and said, okay, I'll do it. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun the first year. I thought, well, we'll do this again. I had a great time. The women are fearless. They are courageous. They try everything. They come with mature ideas, and it's just really, really fun. We have a good time being satisfied.
Definitely.
That might be the right way. You know, we have this idea of fun as something passive in our society. We don't really have a good word for what true fun is, which is being satisfied with an activity that you've done to the best of your ability. That's really fun.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I see when we're putting together a dance, I see one of my peers who really might not be that confident as a dancer in general, almost taking over the role of choreographer, giving her ideas, and Valerie's going, yeah, that sounds pretty good, and we'll just go with that. It's really cool. I love that part of it.
This is definitely a collaborative experience. So I am the director, not just the choreographer. So it's very different than working with a professional company where the collaboration exists, but it's slightly different.
Excellent. And so do you have an upcoming show then? And tell me about that if you would.
Women in Motion is presenting Girls Night Out. That's on May 9th and 10th at the Ames City Auditorium, 7:30 start time. Tickets are available at the door. The Ames City Auditorium is one of our local jewels. It's located on 6th and Clark on the west end of the City Hall building. And if you've never been to a show, well, come to ours. But also go see a show at the City Auditorium. It is a terrific community resource.
Yeah, and so Girls Night Out is Valerie's tribute to the sesquicentennial of Ames.
This is Ames' 150th birthday of being planted. And I thought that we should be celebrating Ames.
Well, answer me this. How do you use dance to celebrate Ames history, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, that is a very common question, because there are lots of ways to answer that. But I'm going to talk just a little bit about some of our subject matters, and because this is Women in Motion, I really concentrated on the women's role in forming Ames. So we are making dances about the driven and purposeful women like Cynthia Duff, Abby Sawyer, and all of the women who call themselves the Bachelor Maids of Iowa, who were really instrumental in forming not just the physical community of Ames, but the spiritual community of Ames, the educational community of Ames. So we can take an idea, make gestures, like this idea of being driven, and we can make gestures that illustrate, not just to ourselves, but to other people, what it is to be driven. And then we start expanding on those gestures. We add repetition. So using basic choreographic and compositional techniques, we use repetition, we use expansion, we make then sentences from those movement phrases and gestures, and then we combine some of those ideas into paragraphs, and finally we end up with a story.
Yeah, people listening might be interested to know that Valerie just mentioned Cynthia Duff. Well, Duff Avenue is not named after Cynthia's husband. It's named after her.
That's good to know.
Yeah, she was, I just learned this from Valerie, but she had many sides to her personality, and that's why all eight of us are going to be used to flesh her out.
Wow.
But, she was responsible for getting the train station here in Ames, and that was really the founding element of Ames.
It was really interesting. We call that little bit, Cynthia Duff is everywhere. She was one of the people responsible for building the first church in Ames. She was responsible for, like I said, the Ames growth.
Well, so tell me, what else have you learned about Ames in the process of this production?
Well, I guess I'll jump in and say that the presence of trains and the importance of trains is continually reinforced through our rehearsals, because many of our transitions from dance to dance are choreographed as a train adventure, and they're very fun. Variations on a theme, you could say.
I have to say that I live very close to the train tracks on Duff Avenue, and we have so many fewer trains now than we did when I first moved to that neighborhood, the Banshell neighborhood, that the trains are of particular interest to me because I was stopped by them on a regular basis. When you ask about what we've learned, I have to say that I got to read and talk to people at the Historical Society, and I got to read lots and lots and lots about how we founded. So I had the terrific privilege of getting to do research.
That is fun.
Yeah, Ames Historical Society is our neighbor next door, and I've done a little bit of research for radio shows, and it is really a wonderful place to visit. I should also say that that we shouldn't leave out Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, absolutely.
There are several numbers in the show that emphasize that fact and take us back to different eras and girls having fun in different ways.
Yeah, everything from the childhood tilt-a-whirl. And we call, in Ames, it was called the Miracle Whirl. We don't see those playground equipment anymore. But they were a big part of growing up in anywhere, not just in Ames, but in anywhere. So there are a number of dances that are really about the universal experience. But we have a dance because there's this wonderful photograph of these children on what was called a miracle whirl, where you run and it starts going around, but if you lean back, you can make it tilt and go around, which we all recall as the scene of many skinned knees and pukey feelings.
Which is why they don't have them anymore.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to fall down and pick yourself up and go crying for your mother when you need to.
Yeah.
There is also anecdotal evidence of Big Bill Brunsey passing through Ames. He's a blues musician, very well known, and I haven't done scholarly research on this. But Max Exner, we are also using as an influence for this performance. Max Exner, who was the extension music, not exactly musicologist, but the extension music person for the state of Iowa, said that a Big Bill Brunsey got off the train, needed money, and swept, you know, pushed a broom at Beardshire Hall for a while before he had enough money to get back on the train and continue on. Again, there's that train influence. So we're using some blues music. I have to say one piece is played by my brother's band, the Pontiac Blues Band.
It's called Chicken Shack Blues, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Back to the Chicken Shack is the full name of the music.
That's a fun one.
Yes. And that's, you know, we all, again, inspired by Big Bill Brunzi, but we all have our own blues, and we're able to dance that individually in this piece.
Well, there's nothing like a good blues tune to turn it around and make you feel better. That's my experience, anyway.
I think that's our experience also.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Jitterbug.
Oh, of course. And that one happened because one of the dancers, Sarah, said, we get to do the Jitterbug, don't we? Don't we get to jump around and do Jitterbug?
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
Do something. And I said, well, yeah.
It's her fault, huh?
It's her fault.
Oh, my gosh. She's going to hear about this. This is the fastest moving dance I've ever done. We get very tired.
It's the last piece. Everybody said, this has to be last. But it's very, very fun.
Well, everything old is new again, and it's coming back, that Jitterbug, I swear.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that it's ever really left. Just kind of gets quiet and then comes back in. You know, Ames is a dancing town.
Hmm.
The city of Ames has more social dance opportunities than actually Des Moines does, if you take away just, you know, bopping in a bar. So Ames has an enormous, I mean, not just per capita, but Ames has really terrific opportunities for dancing.
No, I believe that. I've actually done some sound engineering and some videography for an old English dance and a barn dance with mm-hmm. a caller. That's twice, and I've only been here for about 2 months. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I see that very clearly, that that this is a dancing town.
We have Argentine tango. We have a free ballroom dance every Friday night. We have, and there are various ballroom dance clubs and different social dance clubs. We have Latin dancing. We have lots and lots available to us.
Including Women in Motion, and really anybody can do it. That's the great thing. You do not have to have a body that you are hugely proud of. You can just have a body that you're hugely. No, Valerie starts from the sort of ABCs of dance and just kind of fast forwards us without us knowing that we're being fast forwarded into the XYZs.
So with Women in Motion, we do a technique class every time we meet. We meet on Sundays starting in February, and we do technique, and we do some composition and improvisation, and then I teach some dance movement, but the dancers are also expected to create dance movement.
Right. We're given a theme, an idea, or perhaps a shape type assignment, something like diagonal or a body wave, and we are just asked to roll with it.
Create movement.
Work it.
Expand that movement.
Remember what you just did?
Yeah, well, that's the hard part. Develop that movement. Sometimes we improvise, but also lots of times I ask the dancers to remember what they've done and then to develop that into a phrase of some sort, and then we develop that into a paragraph, and we develop that.
The one thing about this program that I wish could happen, I wish the audience could come on stage for parts of this particular production, because the music is so inspiring. It's just, you want to dance to it.
You want to move.
You want to move. And this is, in Valerie's production, she often creates the dance movement and everything, and then adds the sound later. In this case, we're getting a little bit more sound that we get to work from and listen to the sound and move accordingly. And I really actually love that part, because I just love to dance in that way. So I feel bad for the audience that they're going to have to just sit in their seats and not get to dance.
That's too bad. You're right.
Maybe so we should do a choo-choo train out into the audience. Join on.
Right. The movement is actually, the choo-choo movement is pretty simple. So anybody could get that, or they should be able to get that.
Next year we'll do that.
There we go.
So women's, or Girls Night Out, tell me, when is the show and where?
Girls Night Out performs on Friday and Saturday, May 9th and 10th, at the Ames City Auditorium, 7:30 in the evening. Tickets are available at the door.
Fantastic.
We'll see you there, James.
All right, I'll be there.
You know, this is an artful performance. It's not, I mean, it's a theatrical performance. And it isn't just about the social dance and the social aspects, but it's really a fun performance. This one is accessible for anybody and really pretty much any age.
And whenever Valerie does a show, it will be produced in a highly professional way. So we're going to have a professional lighting guy who just always does it perfectly.
Virgil Klein-Hesselink, who makes us look good on stage with terrific lighting.
And Valerie has a lot of skill with the computer, so she's doing backdrops, visuals that go with the dance.
So you've got like a scrim that you're projecting some stuff on as well.
Yes, a psych. We've got a psych that we're projecting on. And we are extremely grateful to the Ames Historical Society, not just for the help about research, but they are letting us use some of their archived photographs. And we're projecting some of those. I have to say that seeing a picture of Abby Sawyer on her day of retirement, this highly influential educator in the city of Ames, and having her sit on a swing next to a small boy and look, it's a beautiful, touching photograph.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much, Valerie, for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks.
It is my pleasure. I love talking with you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Getting some of the details of the show under your belt.
I'm doing tech setup before rehearsal and making sure that costumes are loaded in and that the projector is set up and blah, 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 blah. Just on and on and on.
We'll see you later then.
All right. Looking forward to it.
We're going to share some sound from two dancers in the performance who are working off of another photograph that we haven't quite talked about yet. So,
excellent.
We got inspired by a series of old photographs out of the Ames Historical Society. These old photographs have got a really absolute charm to them.
I was inspired by the single file line of the swimmers on the diving board.
Our dance is based on a photograph that was taken at the carpool, when the carpool was new. A bunch of young divers lined up on a diving board, and they just had the most wonderful expressions, and Deb and I got inspired as to how we would line up for such an event.
Yes, this is a very different take on a line dance.
So that inspired us. Deb and I are doing a duet, and we have a really good time doing this.
It's one of the silliest things I've ever seen.
Why, thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts and one of your guests today, Greta Anderson.
Hi, James Winters.
Come see the show.
This is Cynthia McClure. I'm with Jason Nicholson, the owner of Brick City Grill, and he's gotten the Best Burger Award this year, and he must be very proud, but can you give us an idea of what your grill is all about?
Yeah, we just opened less than a year ago, actually. We just kind of wanted to do something local, like kind of a neighborhood hangout. Obviously, now we're more of a statewide hangout in the last couple days, but we just kind of wanted a place where people could go grab a burger and a beer, and we have other options as well on our menu, and you know, we have plenty of TVs for all the sporting events, and we just want to be known for good food and cold beer.
Well, you've gotten that reputation, and there's a lot of people even passing through the state that have recognized it. I came in earlier, and this place was packed, and it has a maximum occupancy of 99 people, and I think you had reached that.
Yeah, we were definitely at that. That's for sure.
And this is a Monday, and it was a lunch hour, so, and you have closed down because you guys need a break to get ready for the dinner hour. So is this, since you guys got the award, has it been like this consistently? recently?
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. The last Saturday, Sunday, and today, we've actually had to close down in the afternoon to prepare food so we have enough for the night rush.
So how do you feel about this?
Yeah, we're definitely proud. It was unexpected. You know, we weren't on the ballot because we weren't open to this year last time. In order to be on the ballot, you had to be open and receive votes. Otherwise, you just kind of have to go by write-in votes, and that's how we got nominated. So we were surprised to be nominated, and then even more surprised to win.
Now, here's the big question. Do you source any of your ingredients here in Iowa? I had some people wondering if you source your beef here in Iowa.
Yes, beef is local. We get it. It's within about an hour from here. It is local, though.
That's a Iowa cow people are eating.
It is. Yep. Yeah, we've had a lot of ranchers come in, even, you know, they're like, oh, we raise cattle, and we appreciate what you've done. And so that actually makes me feel good as well, because I know that in a roundabout way, you know, I'm helping them out as well.
So besides your burgers, what else are you proud of on your menu that you want to talk about?
We have a really good ribeye steak. Our beef brisket's really good. We also have a pork chop. It's a smoked pork chop, which is very good as well.
And these are all local products?
Correct. Yes, yes. Pretty much everything is within the state. If it's not from within Iowa, then I'm not sure. I don't know about it.
Do you source your produce in season?
No, the produce, actually, I get that from my distributor. So I'm not sure exactly where that comes from. I know some of that has to come from out of state just because of the season it is. So I'm not sure exactly 100% where that, you know, some of it's local, some of it's not.
But anything with a face, let's just say, is local.
Yes, yes, for sure.
And then you have a large alcohol wall here.
Yes, we do. We have quite a bit of liquor, quite a bit of beer, and we have 8 tap lines that we kind of try to have a little something for everybody.
Do you have any local beers that you serve?
We do have a few. Now you put me on the spot. we have a Peace Tree, which is out of Knoxville. We have the Blonde Fatale, and we have a couple other ones, and we're actually looking to add a few more because we've had a decent amount of requests over the last couple weeks to a month about more local stuff. I think now that summer's coming up, people are wanting more of the local stuff.
Are you going to expand, because this place has become like an icon now?
Well, the location right now, we actually cannot expand. We're confined to the space we're in. I've had thoughts, and I've had people approach me about other locations. That's something, you know, down the road, hopefully we get to that point. But right now, we're just going to try to make the most of what we have.
Well, can you tell us about your burger, besides the meat being sourced here? And what was the vision behind making a really great burger?
Yeah, the meat is local. It's a proprietary blend that we have. We cook it on a flat-top grill, so it kind of sears in the flavor. We just use salt and pepper for seasoning. Nothing too fancy on that. Just keep it simple and let the beef do the work for us. We have really good buns. It's a higher priced bun, but it's definitely worth the price on our end.
Is that local also?
The buns are local. Iowa local. They're not from out of state. So yes, they are.
Well, that's, I think, what people were kind of, you know, when you think local, it's like, okay, it's not Ames, but hey, it's statewide.
Correct. Yes, they are statewide.
Can you give us your address and your phone number so if people are interested in contacting you, maybe making a reservation, which I probably would suggest.
Yeah, we're located at 2704 Stang, which is just north of Iowa State Campus, just north of the Vinker Golf Course. We're attached to the Greater Iowa Credit Union. You'll see a big clock tower on the corner. We're literally just attached to that on the north side of that. Our website is brickcityames.com. We do take reservations, but only Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3. So we're so busy at night that we just can't do reservations at night or on weekends.
So basically lunch hour during the weekday.
Correct. Yes.
So if you have a party that wants to get in here and get out for their lunch hour at work, this would be a good idea to do.
Yes, definitely.
Because what I saw today, it was pretty packed. Yes. I mean, it was like firehouse packed, you know?
Yes, it was very busy, yes.
So you want to share anything else with Central Iowa about Brick City Grill?
Not too much. I mean, if we haven't seen you already, we'd like to see you and just come on in and have a burger.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Today we've been talking about the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, a new foundation in Story County
to assist conservation efforts. Pat Schlaubarm was our correspondent for that. We also heard that the otters are giving birth in our waters. We spoke with Valerie Williams, the artistic director of Commotion Dance Theater, about the 2014 Women in Motion production, Girls Night Out, that's happening this weekend, the 9th and 10th of May at City Auditorium. And we heard from Cynthia McClure about Brick City Grill, a hometown eatery that has reached statewide fame. Thanks to James Winters, who our engineer, who also pinch hit as an interviewer.
I like burgers.
And our theme was Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. You can listen to this show and all of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, and see listings of our guests and resource contact information. We are also now streaming live from the studio. So tune in anytime, anywhere, and catch KHOI-FM on your computer. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
The old hometown looks the same as I step in from the train. And there to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the road I look and there I'm Mary. Hair gold, lips like cherries. The good you touch the green. Green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come home to meet me. Arms reaching, smiling sweetly. Oh, it's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. There's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary. Hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come home to meet me on the reaching. Smiling sweetly, oh it's good to touch the green, green grass at home. See me in the shade.